I'm going to do something I rarely do. We're in new time circumstances. I can't think how many times I've done this. I think I've done it at least maybe once. But let me explain. I am not going to be preaching on Job 11 through 14 today. I have the sermon. It's done. I got it right here on the iPad. I had it done, I think, on Wednesday or so. But I was in a meeting yesterday with some fellow church planting leaders, pastors from around New England. It's our church is part of the New England Church Planting Network, and we were having our annual meeting. And it was sort of an all-day meeting. And when we kind of got started into the meeting, we were acting like everything is business as usual, you know, kind of going through our budget reports, talking about this, things, that. And we got to talking about summer internships and, you know, how we're going to do that and what church is going to take summer internships. And I said, "Whoa, why are we acting like things are different right now? Why are we talking about summer internships? I mean, who's going to be taking interns this summer? I mean, we're not even sure we're going to be meeting in person." And it kind of was one of those moments where we all just kind of realized, I mean, we were all aware of it, that things aren't the same, but we realized we're in a new reality and we need to think differently. And I just felt, you know, after that meeting yesterday and last night and into this morning, to kind of just keep preaching through Job, and we're going to keep preaching through Job, but not kind of address what's kind of happened, and maybe what we need to do. I felt like we needed to talk about it. Or at least I need to talk about it with you folks, and maybe we'll start a conversation, maybe not right now, but maybe in the days and weeks to come. Because I think we're fooling ourselves if we want to just simply think, well, we'll just be the church and we'll just go online and we'll just continue to do things as if not. We're not. And that would be silly. And I think we need to take an account to what's happened. So if you'll indulge me this morning, I'm going to talk about Job and Esther, as well as Matthew 22. If you have a Bible, you can turn it to the Great Commandment in Matthew 22. But let me pray, and then I'll share a little bit more what God's put upon my heart. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this technology, the ability in which we can gather in this way, and Lord, show us in the coming weeks, months, what that's going to look like, how we're to be the church, how we're to worship as your church. Lord, this is something none of us have ever experienced, certainly not in our lifetime or previous lifetimes. Have we ever been in a circumstance like this? And so we are, like many times the church has faced challenges, we are in a time when you are going to refine us and encourage us to be your church. You've done that again and again through history, and maybe this is such a time as well that we will be refined through this and encourage to be followers of Jesus Christ as you call us to be. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So the reason I want to just lay out what you already know and just really examine at what pace this has all happened. 2 weeks ago, less than 2 weeks ago, I defended my thesis up over at Gordon-Conwell Seminary, and things were business as usual. Got through that process, was chatting with my professors. We're talking about graduation. One of them was who's from Kentucky, was sharing with me that, you know, he wanted to make sure he made an effort to fly up and be there and for the graduation in May. And, you know, it was an exciting and encouraging time thinking about the future. And when I think about what's happened since that day till today, I mean, it just leaves my head spinning. It's officially a pandemic. I think we know that. The World Health Organization, CDC, others have confirmed that. It is a pandemic that has touched every corner of the world. Some in places worse than others, we know that. Some are managing, some are seeing some success, improving, while others are just struggling. This morning I was watching news and seeing nurses in Spain just in tears, just exhausted and trying to keep up with the needs in their country. Just the exasperation upon officials trying to figure out how to manage the situation. Maybe you saw earlier this week, the Italian army and all these trucks lined up down the street, unfortunately carrying folks who had passed away and ceased because of this. It's just, we've never seen anything like this. And it's not something that's happening over there. It's something that's happening here. We see it in our own country. It's affecting and disrupting life. It's impacting our region. Schools are closing or are closed. We have no sports programs. You know, what are we going to do with Saturday and Sundays now? And throughout the week, businesses are shuttered. Grocery stores are overwhelmed. Al and I were in Costco earlier this week. Been going to Costco for 15 years. Never saw it like that before. It was just insane. Was walking around Lowe's last night. Was picking up something. And I think it was like every 30 seconds, 60 seconds, an announcement was coming through the speaker to say, please keep your distance from other customers as well as our sales associates, whatever. It's best, you know, like this running announcement this entire time. I mean, it's just incredible, you know, that we're in this situation. Last night, Allison worked at the airport. The planes are empty. The airport was empty. Drew's at APU, his school closed, and is made his way back here, just landed early this morning on a plane that normally holds over 200 people. There was, I think Allison told me, 15 people on the plane making their way across. I mean, it's just, and I think my heart really goes out, not to just, I mean, to many of these things are just, it's heartbreaking, but also to all the folks who maybe have been planning things at this time. We're entering into the season of weddings, graduations, and all of this is being thrown up in the air and no one knows, and we're not sure how long it goes. Tori was telling us this week that her church in California has told her that they don't expect to worship together in person until August. Maybe sooner, we'll see, maybe July, but that's a long time away. It's March. That's 5 months. So, you know, I think the most difficult thing about right now is we have no idea what's going to happen next. Like I said, 2 weeks ago, I didn't see any of this. If you would have told me 2 weeks ago that I'd be standing in my basement in my home office preaching to my congregation on Zoom, I would have just thought, that's funny. You know, I wonder if it will come to that. Yeah, well, it's not funny. That's exactly what I'm doing. I never thought I'd be doing that. I'm glad through technology we can. So that's our circumstance. That's what's happened. So here we are in this moment of history, and maybe in 6 months things will return back to normal. I don't know. But what are we going to do for the next 6 months? Are we going to sit on our hands? Are we going to, you know, what are we going to do in this time as we approach Easter, as we think Pentecost and other things? And I was thinking and reflecting upon the fact that it's been moments like this, like a moment like a pandemic, when it has often defined the church and refined the church. For example, in the early church, one of the books I read for my doctoral program is a book called, I think you maybe all see this, it's called Saved by Faith and Hospitality by Joshua Chip. He's a professor at Trinity Evangelical Divinity School in Chicago. And in his book, Saved by Faith and Hospitality, Josh Chip talks about that the concept of community healthcare is a concept that actually originates in the church. And it goes back to in the very first century that Christians were known for in the Roman culture and world to care for the poor and the needy and the sick. If there was a sickness, you know, a plague or pandemic or whatever, Christians took in the sick and the needy, and those who were, and they had developed this reputation. And actually they had these what were early called poorhouses, where they would bring people in and house them and care for them. And these poorhouses are the precursor to hospitals. The whole concept of a hospital and community healthcare is something that originates in the church. Something where, I mean, the word hospitality, hospital, all connected to that. It's why Josh refers to it in his book. Hospitality is more than just, you know, bringing meals over, but it's actually caring for others. In 1527, maybe some of you have been seeing quotes about this on social media, Martin Luther, during the Reformation, a plague came to Wittenberg, where he was at, and he and his wife at the time, as well as others, ministered to those during the bubonic plague. And he reflected upon it, talked about it, engaged in that time. More recently, 2004, Ajit Fernando, director for Youth for Christ in Sri Lanka, talks about that when the tsunami hit in the Indian Ocean, when that earthquake and the tsunami that rolled across the Indian Ocean, devastating parts of Indonesia as well as in Sri Lanka, the church was under persecution at the time. There was some laws and things happening in Sri Lanka, but when the tsunami hit and devastated many folks, Christians were seen out on the beaches and going into communities where they were previously not welcomed, offering water and food and helping in different ways, in ways that they could help and care for their neighbors. So there's been times in history where when the church has been or in the midst of a crisis, a challenge, has actually rise to the occasion by the leading of Christ. And that's the fact is, whatever you want to say about what's happening today, Christ is the Lord of history. This is actually a theme I've been trying to highlight in our studies of Esther and Job. Esther's famous for not mentioning God. Job, very ancient book. With a strange, difficult situation, trying to understand the sovereignty of God and who he is. Esther, in a very difficult situation as well. This not so much a pandemic or a plague, but really the possibility of her nation being wiped out, genocide taking place, certainly another crisis. We've seen that God didn't leave his people, but was working in that situation. Esther was asked at that time by her cousin Mordecai, that maybe in urging her, that maybe why she is in the place where she is today is because that maybe God is at work in the circumstances and will work through you in this. So in our studies of Esther and Job, and Job's story is a story not like very much our situation right now, if you think about it. Job's life's turned upside down just like in an instant. Like he went from this, large family, wealth, all these things to nothing in a very short amount of time. And just trying to wrestle with it, trying to understand, make sense of it. That's why we have chapter after chapter in the book of Job. Job's just trying to make sense of things. We'll talk about that. And so, here is where as we are in this situation now as a church and all the churches across our globe. I'm thankful that we're even in the book of Esther and Job and thinking about the fact that what it means, maybe at times like this, we get back to the basics. When I say back to the basics, we get back to what Christ has taught us. So Matthew chapter 22, Jesus is being confronted by the religious leaders of the day. They're trying to, challenge him, in his circumstances and his ministry and his work. And one of these Pharisees comes and challenges Jesus about what's important. And it says, Matthew 22:34. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, what is the great commandment in the law? which is the great commandment in the law. And he said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depends all the law and the prophets. I think we're in a time, in a circumstances where we are called to love our neighbors. And I know instinctively, I know for me it's been true, maybe for you, the instinct in circumstances like this is to think inward. Think about yourself, your family, circumstances, which is good to think about family and making sure you're taking care of yourself. I'm not suggesting that, that you shouldn't. But sometimes that's all we care about. You know, how are we going to maintain the church? How are we going to do things? How are we going to look after ourselves when really we have an opportunity maybe at this time to, of course, care for ourselves and our families, but also for our neighbors and demonstrate the love of Christ as time in the past. So I'm just going to challenge us with a couple of things this morning to think about what maybe we can do or what maybe we should be doing. And I think I have four things, and then I'll stop. Four things. The first thing that we can take in an opportunity as we are home with our families or maybe alone is spend more time with Christ. I know the temptation. We're all kind of joking and talking a little bit about it, like time to binge watch on Netflix or Amazon Prime or catch up on these different things and so forth. That's fine. I'm sure we all have plenty of time to do those kinds of things. But I also think it's an incredible time to be reading, to even have time in worship and prayer, to read scripture, to spend time with the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the Lord of history, the one who's in control, the one who we can trust, just to remind ourselves of that. I think it'd be a good place to start there on a regular day. I don't know about you. Sometimes I'm fine, and then I turn on the news, and I see my Twitter feed, and I hear the running totals and numbers and things that are happening. It makes me anxious, makes me worried, makes me concerned, wondering if I should go out, run over and get some toilet paper or something to that effect. I don't know, whatever it is. But I realize that where I need to start every day, especially in times like this, is spend time with Christ. And trust him that this is all before us, that he knew this was coming, and that he is with us in these circumstances, these times. I haven't made all sense of this, and I'm not a prophetic person in the sense that I know what's going on. I don't want to pretend to be. I don't think always we're supposed to. I think moments like this remind us, where are we going to put our trust in? Who are we going to spend time with? We're probably nervous about, you know, who's going to take care of us in this circumstances. And I think we need to remind ourselves Christ will take care of this. I want to show you all a real quick clip here. I'm going to share this with you. I maybe some of you have seen it running around on social media, but I like it. You know that I've studied, I've had a chance to study Billy Graham and work with Dr. Tim Boucher, who is chair of Billy Graham Center, Ed Stetzer, who is the director of the, I've got to spend a lot of time studying Billy Graham, listening to his sermons, and this clip has been running around that I think is very apropos for our time. So if you can listen, I think hopefully it'll work just fine, to Billy Graham's words to a generation decades ago.
Say, Jason, we're not getting any audio.
You're not getting any audio?
So the way that we're going to do this for the third song, same kind of thing. You have to stop sharing your desktop and then share it again. But when you're selecting what you want to share, there's a little checkbox that says share computer sound.
Share computer sound. Oh, there it is. Got it.
And then you can mute yourself,
which is probably going to be helpful.
Habakkuk said, Lord, please tell me what you're doing. And God said, no, I'm not going to tell you, Habakkuk. Because if I told you what I was doing, you wouldn't believe it. If God today told us what he's doing in the world, we wouldn't believe it. Don't you think God's given up and God's abdicated and God's left the throne? He hasn't. He's still on the throne. And those of us that know him put our trust in him and him alone. I don't put my trust in Washington. I don't put my trust in the United Nations. I don't put my trust in myself. I don't put trust in my money. I put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. When all the rest of it fails and crumbles and shatters, he'll be there. Habakkuk said...
All right, I hope that worked for folks. If you didn't see it or didn't hear it, I'll be happy to share it at another time. So first, I just want to encourage all of us that we might spend time with Christ, remembering he is still the Lord of history. The second thing is, I want us to think about looking after one another. You know, one of the things I'm aware of, and I'm sure all of you are aware of as well, we're a very spread out congregation. You know, we have folks, some that have to drive 40, 45 minutes to get to church, some 5 minutes like myself. I think I identify where you live in like 9 or 10 different communities. Maybe I've lost track, spread out throughout this region. It's hard to kind of gather together. But you know, one of the things we can do is do what we're doing right now, is we can gather together, and still connect through maybe online texting, phone, email, phone, whatever. There's lots of technology, lots of ways in which to do that. I'm thankful that when we had all, you know, when this was all sort of unfolding and we have 3 kids all out 3,000 miles, you know, like this way on the West Coast, you know, we can keep contact. Well, we can do that. And we can do that as a church. And we want to figure out how to do that. You know, this morning, you know, there's a whole bunch of us here this morning. It'd be nice to turn it into Hollywood Squares or the Brady Bunch view and just be able to chat and talk. It doesn't work very well on Zoom, everyone talking at the same time. But maybe there's other ways we can do that. Other ways we can connect, check after one another, and think, you know, what ways we can look after one another as the church. I think we are called to do that. The third thing is to look after our neighbors. At this time, we have people that are literally living right beside us, coworkers, people around us, right where we are. There are folks that are maybe in need, older folks. It's a chance where we can say, hey, let's work together, maybe run errands, check in, be a source of encouragement, share Christ, as maybe you might have as an opportunity. But I think this is a tremendous opportunity for us as a church, all churches, not just Christ Pres, but all churches, to not just look inward and concern ourselves with one another, but think outwardly. You know, we're all now spread out, and that's not a bad thing right now. That might be an opportunity for us to share with people in our apartment complex and our neighborhoods, if we're still going into work with those that are around us and sharing, and be sensitive to that, and hearing what's happening. And maybe there's ways and opportunities we might be able to serve and help. As Mark again was sharing in the deacons, when we want to see if that's a possibility. The last thing I want to encourage us with is this, to be creative, to be innovative. And I joke about this in my dissertation. It's not something that Presbyterians are really strong. We're not really good at it. A lot of other churches, I think, denominations and groups will take chances, try different new things. We tend to be like, let's wait, let's be safe, let's be careful. But I think actually this is a time when we're going to need to think differently and be creative. I was mentioning, I was in that meeting yesterday with New England church, you know, leaders, church leaders. And again, we were in this conversation, we're talking about summer internships and, you know, who wants a summer intern and stuff like that. And I said, whoa, why are we even talking about this? There's a chance that we're not even going to be worshiping together. What are we going to do with interns? And so it led into a conversation where we began talking about, okay, scrap summer internships. It's probably not going to happen this summer. So what else can we do? And we talked about this idea of maybe doing some Zoom recruiting. So get the word out through our organization, connect with people, offer up a Zoom conference on a particular day. Folks that are interested about ministry in New England and church planting and what's happening in our different presbyteries, folks that are in different parts of the country, if they want to hear about what's happening in New England, we'll host them in a Zoom conference, maybe do a presentation, do the screen sharing, things like that. And just connect with people across the country that we haven't connected before that might want to know about what's happening in our region. You know, we're not done thinking it through. There's smarter people than me who are going to think through what we're going to do, but we're going to try new stuff. And when you try new things, I just want to remind us that when we try new things, it's not all going to work. And it might be frustrating. Like today might be frustrating, this whole experience. And Jen Oquist very thoughtfully has put together a survey just to figure this out. So being creative means we also need to be patient and try new things and being willing to stumble. Sometimes we'll be triumphant, it'll be cool. Sometimes it won't be. But there was, I'm reminded of the fact that the early church, Martin Luther, Ajit Fernando in Sri Lanka, when those circumstances happened, there was no manual for them to look at, no resources to figure out what they need to do or not do. They just simply became what we are always called to be, fulfilling the Great Commandment, fulfilling the Great Commission, and going and doing what Christ had taught them. And that means trying new stuff. I hope we can think about that. And I'm saying it right here in the very beginning of all this. I'm willing to hear new ideas, ways to care for one another, share, worship, study, whatever things we think might work or not work. I may say no, may say yes to some ideas. I think I'm going to probably try to say yes more often to say, well, let's just try it and see what happens and see if it works. But I think we're going to have to be creative. What I don't want to do, and I think hopefully you're getting the impression of this from this talk this morning, is I don't want us just to like go into a holding pattern till like we're just buying our time until, you know, whenever we get back and are able to worship together July or August. I don't think that's what we're supposed to do. I don't think we're trying to buy our time, you know, and do that. I think it's a time when we can be the church and we need to think about how we can be the church. I can tell you as I close, the elders are thinking this through. The deacons are trying to figure this out. You can talk to me. You can talk to, you know, Matt, Aaron, Steve, Mark. I'm still doing leadership training. But, you know, we want to figure this out and we want to do this together. We want to be the church in this new normal. So let's pray. Lord, when Esther became queen, when Job woke up that fateful morning, none of them had any idea what was going to transpire, what was going to happen. There have been times in history when that's just been true of followers of you. It's happened historically since the early church. Even all of what was announced and prophesied in the Old Testament, even God's people weren't ready for Christ to come. Many were skeptical and afraid. Lord, we want to be the church today. We don't know all of what's happening. It's not necessary for us to know. But we need to remind ourselves and each other that you are the Lord of history, that you have ordained this time and what we have, and show us how to be creative, how to look after one another, how to look after those around us, not overextend ourselves, but not simply huddle in a corner and buy our time until sort of the worst of this is over. What do we need to do? What should we do? What don't we do? How do we care? How do we love? How do we demonstrate Christ? How do we be the church? We pray, Lord, you would guide us and lead us. We know you haven't forsaken us. Thank you that our hope and our trust is not in just our Savior, but in our King, the one who reigns and who is eternal. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We have a hymn of response, and I'll let Matt take that away or up on the screen. I had it on my bulletin. I'm sure it's going to pop up right now.
Thanks, Jason. So this is the third